Welcome to From Out of the City for the week of May 20th, 2007. This is your host, William F. DeVault, the romantic poet of the internet, coming to you from cityoflegends.com, talking about poetry. And this week, I'm going to give you a spectrum on it. And what I mean by that is not the actual styles of poetry, not the actual themes of the poetry, but the presentation of the poetry. Some people seem to really like the fact that within the confines of this podcast, I give them, from time to time, straight-up reads, unadorned, what we call naked reads. Some people really like it when I do a little work with it, maybe a filter here and there, maybe a sound effect, whatever. And some people seem to most enjoy those that are done with musical accompaniment, sometimes even going over into the realm of being a song. So what I'm going to do for you here today is I'm going to present three different works of mine. The first will be presented completely unadorned, no special filtering, just my raw naked voice. The second we'll play with a little bit. And the third and final piece we'll present to you with musical accompaniment, the full shebang, so to speak. My virtual house band, the Gods of Love, will be backing me on that one. And the guys and I think we've got something good for you. But this is just to give you a broad range, give you a sense of the different styles of presentation. There's been a lot of talk about spoken word poetry over the last 20 years or so. Used to be if you were a poet, you'd write. Once in a while you'd read publicly, but it wasn't that common. During the beatnik era of the late 50s, early 60s, we had a fair amount of beatnik poetry designed to be publicly performed, and that's fine. But in the last 20 years or so, with the advent of the slams and related spoken word events, we've seen a conflict within the poetry establishment. There are those who would divide poetry into two schools, the academic and the street. The street tends to support the slams, tends to be not very good poetry, but good performance, whereas the academics kind of look down their nose at the slam poets, except to the degree that they popularize poetry. You know, it's one thing to say somebody's not doing a very good job. It's another thing when that not very good job they're doing increases your book sales. And I've found myself on both sides of it. I've had street poets accuse me of being an academic poet because I tend to write in traditional form, and I tend to prefer the written word to the spoken word. And I've had academic poets because I do not hold a university position and abuse the university press system as my vanity press, that I can't be an academic poet, so I must be a street poet. It's all in all very strange. Sometimes it makes you feel absolutely unwanted and unloved. But that's okay. I'm content with my legacy, and I'm content with my work. I just play with it as I see fit. So here we go. The first offering is going to be my poem, The Taste of a Shy Smile. This poem was written a year or two ago, and to some degree it's a reflection upon particular relationships I've had in the past, and upon my attraction to that shy smile that you pick up sometimes just off in the corner, even across the room. A soft smile, an unassuming smile, a shy smile, speaks volumes about the individual. It sometimes lacks the brazen peculiarity or the feigned affection of the big toothy grin that makes it look like a toothpaste advertisement when the person smiles. I much prefer somebody whose smile communicates a sense of being within themselves, of reflecting within themselves their emotions and their feelings, and whatever it was that brought them to smile is a conundrum, is a puzzle to solve, as opposed to just a, hey, I'm here, I'm smiling, everybody love me. So, without further ado, I present to you the poem, The Taste of a Shy Smile. Sliding by the sky, we touch on several planes, in wavelengths beyond violet and red. The past is dead and serves the purpose of conduit, to deliver us to this moment, suspended between what was and what is possible, which is everything, yet to be explored, not ignored like opportunities for joy by cold and craven players in fading photographs and memories. I know things that toe rings and a hint of jasmine can't communicate. Fate and hate are not sibling or regent, and we prevent our own happiness in cowardice and a curious logic that begs the tragic refusal to love because we know we are unworthy. But that doesn't stop God or poets, and the taste of a shy smile should be immortal. To steal a line from Monty Python, and now for something completely different, this next poem is called Uriah. I'll be performing it with a little audio filtering. This piece was originally written to a woman I was involved with who had a, what I originally thought was an ex-husband, and then later found out was a current husband. And for some reason or other, I flashed upon the story of King David and Bathsheba when he found out that the woman he so lusted for was married, and her husband was a soldier. He ordered her husband, Uriah, sent to the front lines during a suicide charge so he was certain to fall. And it wasn't a very nice thing to do. But there are times when the heart wants what it wants, and it goes, yeah, it'd be really nice if I was King David and I could just say, put him up on the front lines. But such was not to be, and Bridget, whom this is about, slipped away from me. And we still communicate from time to time, and I still adore her to death. Still a little ticked about the subterfuge about her marital status, but such is life. But the name of this poem is Uriah. And for all these things, they are now but dust, crushed beneath the heels of the celestial water clock that grinds us down with tears and tempestuous synapses, seizing our days in slivers of life. The knife has no handle, and thus we must rip our own flesh to fight the war we promenade into like dancers in a royal spectacle. Mirrors bend the light, and we might see something of ourselves in the eyes of strangers called to kiss the edge of our self-immolations. But in the end, no one stands alone, or they fall. And the walls of Jericho still mock the memory of the stonemason, for in words there are no truth, but in our hearts. In our hearts, those cold orbs we cover over in varnished iconography, we flee to when we cannot deal with hope, cold and kinetic like a snowball fight on a dark December night. Whiteout. Right out of prophecy, written with fingers still wet, night sweat, and a game of liar's poker played to lose. Arrayed to lose, like Uriah at the wall, left to die for a purpose he did not comprehend, for he did not know the currency of history. Finally, we have a new song from myself and the band, taken from my poem, I Want the Fire. And actually, the poem was written in response to a musical loop that was given to me. Sometimes that produces interesting results, because when inspired, I can write any time. But when I hear a rhythm, whether it's a mechanical rhythm or a musical rhythm or the sound of feet, my poetry tends to try to fall into that groove, into that rhythm, in an attempt to match up with it. And sometimes the results can be pleasant to the ears. Now, warning, I don't really sing in this one. I haven't done that much. It's more of a melodical reading with the music. Again, thanks to the band, the Gods of Love, for all their toleration of my whims. And the name of this piece is I Want the Fire.
I want the fire before I die. I want to see it in your eyes. I want to feel it on your thigh. I want the fire before I die. I want to find a true release, a truth within, a given peace. Not golden cold, but a sacred crease. I want to find a true release. I want the fire before I die. I want to see it in your eyes. I want to feel it on your thigh. I want the fire before I die. I want to know where stands your heart, bound to me or set apart. Be it Damocles or Cupid's dart. I want to know where stands your heart. I want the fire before I die. I want to see it in your eyes. I want to feel it on your thigh. I want the fire before I die. I want to hear you say my name without regret, without shame. Confess your sins and this game. I want to hear you say my name. I want the fire before I die. I want to see it in your eyes. I want to taste it between your thighs. I want the fire before I die. Before I die.
Well, thank you for listening in this week. This has been From Out of the City, available both through Radio City of Legends at cityoflegends.com and through the Apple iTunes Music Store. My name is William F. Duvall. I invite you to come visit the City of Legends, read my poetry, and follow the links to other poetic sites on the web. Have a good day.